The FBI sent his laptop back with a sympathy card.
Oh.
Joe Thomas in the Morning on Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
I'm CBS 19 meteorologist Grant Chungo for Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Brought to you by Rooter Man to the rescue.
In the eyes of the confessor, there's no place you can hide.
Joining us from the Attorney General's office, and just to let you know, don't feel panic-stricken. Jason's going to be visiting us on a regular basis for the next 4 years, and maybe beyond that, who knows. The Attorney General for the Commonwealth of Virginia, and having that many regular visits with a lawyer might make me feel more important than I am or in more trouble than I am. But Jason, thank you so much, and again, thank you so much for the first few months. The honeymoon period of the AG's office. I know you promised during the campaign that you would be as aggressive at pushing back against big government authoritarianism as Mark Herring was against pushing back against liberty, and you have not disappointed in that. How has the shakedown been in the Attorney General's office so far?
Well, it has been. Thank you so much. It has been a fantastic season of service, is what I call my time in public service. I did kind of joke with Governor Youngkin that after we got sworn in, and I could have sworn when I walked back into Mr. Jefferson's Capitol, I heard over the intercom, clean up on aisle 7, because half of what we've been doing, I think, has been cleaning up some poor policies that weren't serving Virginians well. But, you know, I do have to brag on my team. You know, you're only as good as the people that you have working with you, and there have been some extraordinary men and women that have, many of which have left a pretty lucrative careers in the private sector because they believe in the future of Virginia, they believe in what we're doing, and they have decided to also serve in the Attorney General's office, and they do fantastic, fantastic work. Not only are they brilliant legal minds, they are believers in the Constitution, believers in the greatness of what this country is. And so I'm really honored to have those people there. Personnel is policy, and I'm honored that those people are part of my team.
Well, Jason, let me ask you this, because one of the things that I think to me anyway, become obvious about the authoritarians is that they weaponize the law. And they only use it as they see fit. So the law is no longer law, you know, rule of law. It's become rule of man, and we'll apply the laws to people we like or don't like, depending on, you know, whether we want to protect them or assail them. And you were just talking in Fauquier County about, you know, Commonwealth's attorneys sort of still abusing this prosecutorial discretion to even ignore gun crime laws.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fascinating moment. I had a town hall in Fairfax with the Fairfax Police Association. I actually had members of the media there. I had some officers that said, listen, we have gotten so frustrated with the fact that these kind of far left wing special interest prosecutors that have been put into place, that they will not prosecute any crimes, or they will seek to avoid prosecution of any crimes of mandatory minimums wherever possible. So they have gone to the point where they will not even charge defendants. Say you're, I'll give you an example, possession with intent to distribute. You're a drug dealer and you have a gun. And in Virginia, that has enhanced penalties. And, you know, what they've said, they have frustrations where they will not charge certain gun crimes because they know the policy in the Commonwealth Attorney's Office is wherever possible to drop mandatory minimums. And at the same time, these individuals are advocating for a whole host of new gun control legislation. They're not even going after and fully enforcing the laws they already have in their books. And that is a huge problem that I have. And it is why you're seeing such a revolt, really around the country mm-hmm. on these, prosecutors that are choosing not to fully prosecute the law and the people that deal with the consequences of this. If you look, what was most fascinating, if you saw the recall in San Francisco with the DA in San Francisco, was most fascinating. If you look at the police precinct, the precinct that had the highest percentage to recall this left-wing prosecutor was in heavily Latino precincts, working-class areas of the city. The areas that they did not want him recalled were highly educated liberal enclaves in San Francisco, which obviously there are many. But in other words, these are individuals that wanted to keep a prosecutor that were never dealing with the consequences of their vote. They're not the one, they're living behind gated walls and gated communities. They're not dealing with what you're saying, everybody that has obviously either been or visited or seen the news reports of San Francisco, a level of vagrancy and, mm-hmm. and lawlessness there. And so I think you're seeing a sense that increasingly throughout the country that we just want people to absolutely follow what the law is and not decide we're going to decide not to prosecute entire categories of the law, because it leads to so many social ills as well, and it's harming a lot of Virginians, harming a lot of Americans around the country. And so, it's one thing for me to highlight that.
Well, how do we get that back? Because I sense it from listeners who feel that the law enforcement community is marshaled against them. Then I have law enforcement community feels like the populace is marshaled against them, and there has to be a happy medium. I mean, I worry about this call for unionization across the Commonwealth, because then you insert a whole other level of can there be a day in court to find out if somebody's rights were violated, or if a law enforcement officer was put into a bad position by an elected official who just wants to make some score some points with their base. It should be simple. I read the Constitution a lot, and it seems pretty straightforward, our judicial system. How do we peel back some of this so it becomes simpler for everyone to get their day in court?
Well, listen, I think you're actually going to a larger issue, that our friend Mr. Madison worried about in Federalist Number 51, where he said, and I'm going to be paraphrasing, but if essentially, if men were angels, there'd be no need for government. If government was a government run by angels, there'd be no need to control government. And the idea is you both have to have an idea of ordered liberty, but you also have to make sure that, because Mr. Madison and others realize that power can be such a corrupting influence on people, you have to have that separation of powers, and you have to have that sense of accountability. You have a general distrust and collapse. I see this everywhere I go when I talk to so many citizens, of confidence that government's going to get it right. That is not healthy for a democracy.
Mm-hmm, true.
Somebody shared with me a poll that in 1970, if you asked questions, do you think the federal government will generally do the right thing? It was in the high 70s, something like 76-77%. Now that number is in the teens, and it just shows a general lack of confidence right now, and that is not healthy. We should want that. And I think the biggest way for that is a sense of accountability, that everybody's calling balls and strikes and they're applying the law fairly. And, part of my job is I don't supersede what I think the law should be. That is in the hands of the elected representatives and your House of Delegates and your governor. My job is to enforce the law. So my office will defend laws even if I don't agree with them. Even some laws, candidly, that I voted against. Unless it violates the United States Constitution, the Virginia Constitution, I'm going to be defending that. And there needs to be a sense of accountability. And when people feel like there is one standard for, say, maybe the powerful or the connected or elites, and then there's another standard for everyday Americans, people get frustrated and they get upset. And that creates a sense of distrust. And part of what I've been trying to do my very best is, at least in the space I'm in, the Attorney General's office, to call balls and strikes and to enforce the law, equally without prejudice. And that's where I think people are getting frustrated. There needs to be a sense of accountability on the prosecutor's front. I'm the national chairman of a new group called the Protecting America's Action Fund, in which we are focused on helping to get elected just common sense, pro-law enforcement, conservative prosecutors, that they're just going to follow the law, and that's going to be their role. They're not going to suddenly declare that we're not going to be prosecuting anybody charged with a grand larceny or anybody charged with an armed robbery. Some of the stuff we've seen around the country has been created such a distorted lens. So we're pushing back the very best we can, but it's a long road to go.
oag.state.va.us and contact them, you know, and obviously, you know, the AG's office is, you know, where you want to turn if you're feeling, you know, that kind of position. Even, you know, law enforcement, I'm sure you hear from them all the time. Really quick, I know short time, but yeah. Back to school, most of the places, Albemarle, Charlottesville in this area go next week. We're facing teacher shortages in some places. We're school bus driver shortages, but also SRO shortages for our kids in there. And you were addressing that. You know, any ideas? I know that you're part of a suit about the Department of Agriculture trying to force schools to do the things. And it's amazing the eddies and currents that you'd never think the Department of Ag would be trying to push schools around. But SROs and the suit, you know, before we let you go.
Well, the two things would be, one, the governor's put money in for several hundred new school resource officers that'll be able to be in our schools, provide some safety for our classrooms. You know, the two things you want, I have school-age children, when you drop your children at school, you want them to get a great education, but most of all, you want them to be safe. And that's part of our job. We've been also talked to the state police. I just had a roundtable in Fauquier County talking about school safety. And the mental health. You are right. The Department of Agriculture, what the Biden administration has attempted to do to weaponize nutrition assistance for feeding children is just shocking. And for your listeners to know, what has happened is the Biden administration has said, if you are seeking federal assistance for nutrition for needy kids, i.e. reduced lunch programs for kids from poor backgrounds, then your school must and is required, if you're going to accept this money, must allow biological males to participate in women's sports and must allow biological males to both use women's locker rooms and women's bathrooms. This program has been around since 1946. They have never tried to use this program to try to bring in advance a far extreme social agenda. And it's what the federal government often does. It's not a law. It's not a bill. Your congressman and senator never votes on it. It's much easier for the Biden administration to instruct Department of Agriculture to promulgate this, quote, regulation that it has the same full force and effect of a law, that is a radical interpretation of the law to try to force these schools to accept this pretty, I think most Americans would find that pretty shocking. That is exactly what has happened. And so part of my job as Attorney General is to push back on federal overreach. We've joined a coalition of over 20 other state attorney generals, and we have filed suit against the Biden administration that says, listen, do not treat kids from poor backgrounds as a political pawn. Remove this language. They should not be in the center of this kind of push for you to push this kind of pretty radical cultural change on our public schools.
Yeah, I mean, it really blindside you because you're not expecting it. You know, maybe the Department of Education, you want the ag to use that and school lunches of all things. It's amazing. Jace, how much money are we talking about for a school? I mean, could a school turn it down or a school division, you know, or is it going to break the bank
the reality is if you're in a position as a school where you have a large number of children that are coming from homes below the poverty line, you are simply not in a position to turn it down. Yeah, that's just the stark reality.
Well, Jason.
And so you cannot, it really has put these school districts in a next to impossible position. And think about it. Some of them then are in a position where are they going to have to try to spend money on a unisex bathroom, you know, all the different changes there. And so you have a real, it's also about defending women's sports.
Sure.
You know, I like to say sometimes you could be so open. I'm sorry?
Title IX. I mean, you know, what happened to that?
Title IX. Well, you could be so open-minded sometimes that your brain falls out. And so we all believe absolutely in tolerance and acceptance. I understand that completely. I believe that. However, you cannot suddenly try to wave a magic wand and in the name of tolerance then decide that you're going to put biological males on women's sports teams and think that's not going to have a drastic consequence. We saw that now the NCAA women's swimming blessedly changed some of their positions, but you had a biological male that had was not even considered in the top 10%, suddenly setting quote-unquote women's swimming records and really denying so many young women that had worked their entire life, almost their entire life.
UVA swimmer.
Perfect the craft. UVA swimmer or Virginia Tech swimmer.
Yeah, we're second and third. So it's amazing.
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, we're kind of at this stage where I want to protect, you know, I have three daughters. I want to protect women's sports, absolutely. I don't want to see school districts having to choose between nutrition for their needy kids and having to completely upend, you know, both their women's program. And, you know, I was in Fairfax, and I had a teacher who shared with me that she has had students tell her they've actually asked her to walk them to the bathroom because they didn't feel comfortable with what they're seeing there. And so you have a variety of issues in our school.
Yeah.
One of which is, hey, let our kids be kids.
Yeah,
let's not try to, you know, remake women's sports all in the name of, you know, Biden's vision here. Role is to push back.
You know, it's amazing how quickly they forget lessons like Loudoun County, Jason. And I mean, as horrific as it was, what happened. I mean, it is. I guess they've decided to forget about it, and like Loudoun County didn't happen, you know, Mr. Smith and everything there. But I appreciate your visit again. It's oag.state.va.us. You've been very gracious, and we'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeff.
No price hikes, no portion reductions. What else in your life can promise that?
I need a price check on 2 grapes.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.